If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This week in PlayStation, we're talking about The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered's new mode, No Return, and interviewing the director. We'll have all this and more because this is PSI Love You XOXO. Welcome to the show, everybody. That's Blessing. I'm Greg, and you can get this show on patreon.com/kindoffunny. There you can watch us record it live, usually, get it ad-free, and get dozens of monthly exclusive episodes only on patreon.com/kindoffunny. If you have no bucks to toss our way, no big deal. Support us on the Epic Games Store, Fortnite, Rocket League, or Fall Guys with the creator code KINDOFUNNY. You can get PSI Love You XOXO for free with ads and without the exclusive content on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe each and every Friday. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Jackson Hampton, Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Shady Rays. Let's start with a PSN message from Yo! Hi, Bless.
Hi, Greg.
How you doing?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
Great. Yeah? We are recording out of order. We've already recorded the interview. On top of that, we're recording this on a Friday. You're seeing it on a Tuesday unless we effed up the embargo. Then shh, don't tell anybody. Man, so it's a weird
GTA
one.
6, huh?
I'll tell you what. Whoa. That GTA 6.
That trailer.
I can't believe it was. They just called it Vice City.
Yeah,
with
man.
The capital V in the I.
GTA V, capital V-I.
Dude, yeah, think about that. Even think about we're recording it days like before the biggest.
Hours after a GTA trailer came out.
If I haven't choked on a throat lozenge, that is up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can go watch us live react to that and then do the Kind of Funny Games Daily immediately following where we do a little post-show rundown.
This is you're begging that we're going to keep that plan, right?
I'm saying that's the plan. We need to discuss it. Bear and I were talking. We need to discuss it.
I think a lot can change between where we're recording right now and Tuesday.
No one right now is watching PSI Love You, listening to PSI Love You. They pull over to the side of the road like, wait, where's that Games Daily?
That's true. Where's the GTA 6 coverage?
They know it's there. That happened for sure, unless this company went out of business.
Yeah. What if Rockstar goes out? Like, what if they change it? Like, ah, man, we made a mistake.
We're just hilarious, though.
The trailer's not ready. We forgot to edit it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and now we're just like, oh, man, well.
We, content. Of course, today got to go play Last of Us Part 2 Remastered No Return. But before we do that, we always start the show with what is and forever will be the PSN message. This one comes from Cozy Bear. Cozy Bear writes in, on point, on topic, in the same Last of Us ballpark, which I appreciate. It says, what would you want to see out of a single player only expand alone The Last of Us game that would serve as a bridge between The Last of Us Part 2 and the inevitable Last of Us Part 3? So I assume we're thinking a little bit like Left Behind. Not exactly, but a little bit like it, right? Where we're getting a Miles Morales type experience.
Yeah, I'll say alone tells me, says like Miles Morales even more so to me.
Sure.
Which makes this interesting because I think this all would depend on what is The Last of Us Part 3.
I know, right? That's what makes it so hard.
Yeah. Because Last of Us Part 3, I imagine you're going to get more Ellie. Maybe we play more as Ellie. Maybe we play more as Lev or Abby, right? Like, that's the tough thing is I would love an expand alone that is, hey, this is a Last of Us game where it is a 8-hour story and you're playing as Lev from beginning to end. Mm. Unless you're saving that for Last of Us 3, then it's like, okay, well, then what do you do for an expand alone?
Again, this is an impossible question to answer without talking about what you think Last of Us Part 3 is. I think Last of Us Part 3, and this is me guessing based on nothing, is going to see a significant time jump where I think we met Ellie as a teen, right? Mm-hmm. A tween. We then came back and played more as her as an adult, a young adult, right? Entering into the new normal of being an adult. I think we're going to come back and she is going to be more of like Joel's age. And so, and this is me just, I'm just spitballing what Last of Us Part 3 is. And I don't think we play as her. I think we play as a new character that's entering the fray and yada, yada, yada. So what I would think I would want from an expand alone would be some kind of bridge between it that is... I of course, want to know what Ellie did after last... Spoilers for Last of Us Part 2. We watch her, you know, go through. She can't strum because she got no finger. Then we just see her out the window walking into the woods, right? I want to know what that was like after that. So I think if we got some of that, and then at the end it turned out that it was like a flashback she was having, or even if throughout we were getting little flashbacks, or her as an older woman, like, you know, looking back and remembering that for whatever reason, I think that could be interesting if it was kind of like, all right, so the house, she leaves the house, here's... you know, her trying to go back to Dina and Dina throwing her out. Yeah. Here's her moving to a different city. Here's a bunch of, you know, run-ins with other bad people. Yeah. Here's her mourning Joel. And then wherever we're building to then, we're in the new community. We're meeting a new person. She is a hermit living on, you know, in the middle of nowhere on her own. Like, yeah. I feel like that could be a nice
As we talk about the possibilities for an older Abby, right? Like, my imagination goes wild in terms of what you can do. Or, sorry, older
Abby. Would be older too, technically.
Yeah, I guess they both would be older. But, like, my imagination runs wild with what you can do with that. Because, like, my immediate go-to for that would be, it is the baby that Dina had, right? Yeah. It is maybe Dina's passed away. And it is that child is now, like...
she's come after Ellie.
She's coming after Ellie.
Not after, but you're coming to find her and talk to her.
It is like, hey, like, you know, Dina's gone. Maybe it is... hey, there are people after us, and like they took out Dina, and they're like, you know, they're after our settlement or whatever.
Ooh, I really like what you're pitching. I really like it. Like, hey, you were, mom never recovered from you, and I know that you were so important to me and those in her. Like, I need to know more.
And mom
about
was like, hey, if you are ever like in dire need of trouble, I know somebody who's a killing machine.
Yeah,
that's Ellie, right? Yeah. Like, have it be almost like the loop around of what Last of Us One was, right?
Sure.
With Joel and Ellie, and having it be like this older man taking care of this daughter figure, right? What if it is Ellie taking care of? I forget if the baby was a boy or a girl.
It was a boy, yeah.
Was it a boy? Yeah, okay, yeah. It is Ellie taking care of this.
I can't remember his name, though. You remember that?
No, I do not remember. But yeah, I think that would be cool. You know? I think that would be really interesting, and I think that would be, like, a fun way to loop it around. And then also...
JJ.
JJ?
Yeah.
That would be a really cool way to tie it up. And then also, I think from there it is, all right, what do you do with Abby and Lev then, right? And maybe that, maybe if that is the story you're telling with Last of Us 3, it is about Ellie, then an expand-alone situation or a spinoff. It doesn't even need to be an expand-alone, but a spinoff could be... all right, where do Abby and Lev go from here? Like, what is their story?
Okay.
I'm also into the idea of, we talked about it with the TV show, right? Of once you catch up with The Last of Us games, do you then do Fear of the Last of Us, where it is like Fear of the Walking Dead, or a Last of Us anthology type thing where you just tell all these disparate stories that take place within the world of The Last of Us? I like the world of The Last of Us so much that I'd be down for, hey, here are a bunch of games that are 6 hours long, right? We're releasing one every couple years, and it's different characters, and it's different parts of the country and the world, and they are all post-apocalyptic stories that are diving into these different stories of love, right? I think a lot about Bill's Town and how they did that in the TV show.
Yeah,
I'd love like a bunch of different, you know, versions of what a Bill's Town kind of story could be in video games. I think that'd be really cool.
It's an interesting one for you. Not what you were saying. It was boring as shit. Mm-hmm. But what I'm finding on the internet right now, right? Because JJ, I was like, oh, of course, Jesse. I always forgot that Jesse was the father. They named it. Screen Rant's got an article over here, right? And it's, you know, whatever. It's from Alexandra Sacalario, published 2020, July 1st. It's about who's the father. I think it's just like it's Jesse. We knew that.
Yeah.
I think it was maybe if you're like, you know, to not spoil something, a headline when the game was brand new. But this is interesting. JJ's full name is never revealed by the end of The Last of Us Part 2, and the game's creative director, Neil Druckmann, has revealed on Twitter the second J does not stand for Junior. Fan theories have suggested it's a tribute to Jesse and Joel, both of whom died over the course of the game. It's understandable Ellie would want to honor Joel, who was very much a father figure to her, but it may be more confusing why they choose to pay tribute to Jesse, who, they're like acting like this is a big reveal that Jesse's the dad. I apologize for that. But that's interesting that I never thought too much about it. I always thought it was just Jesse, and I don't know what the second J was for, but now they're trying to say Jesse James.
Jesse Joel. Where?
But did you think it was, so? As
did had Ellie come around on like kind of forgiving Joel by that point?
She was working on it, remember?
Yeah.
And then that was ripped away from her. So, I mean, there's definitely baggage there.
Yeah.
But I think you can still. I mean,
I think
it's weird to name a kid initials. Is that something we're doing now? Your name's JJ.
I mean, your son is BJ, isn't he?
But like, Benjamin James.
Okay, well that's fair.
So, I mean, and, like...
well, I also think it's the... what's the thing, Barrett? You probably know. Is it Tchaikovsky's gun? Where, like, if there's a gun...
Chekhov's gun. If there's a gun introduced in the first act of a play, it must be shot in the second act of the play.
And I think it's the same for babies.
Chekhov baby.
I think if there's a baby introduced in one film or a game or whatever, in the next installment, that baby's a character. That baby's now grown and walking and saying words.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. I like what you're pitching because I had the old Ellie. I can envision that.
Yeah.
And then I like what you're spitting here. Mm-hmm. And that could even be the end, right? Just knock on the door. Opens it up.
That'd be such a great
movie. We never show the man who is no longer a baby. We never show the man, but it's just Ellie opening the door and we get it from behind. And, and he goes, "Mom?" Question mark. And
that'd be insane.
Directed by, doesn't matter, story idea by Greg Miller. That's what it says right after.
And Blessing. What is, I feel like my name should be first.
That'll be Associate of Bless.
I came up with the whole thing.
I had old Ellie. We're collaborating together here. We're making fire over here.
I want equal credit.
Can I get credit as well just for being here?
You can co-direct it with Neil.
Sick. All right, cool.
I feel like we should be co-directed with Neil. I feel like that's such a high position.
I don't want that much pressure. Yeah, but we just did the story.
A lot of notoriety.
We just did the story.
Yeah, but I feel like
now either we get credit and a little bit of money or we sue.
Directors get all the love, though. Like, Barrett's going to get all the fame and all
good,
the
he deserves
as
fame.
I deserve.
Yeah. He directs this show. He does a great job.
I mean, he does, but like, we came up with the whole thing. I guess this is Hollywood, right? That's how Hollywood works.
That's just the process, baby.
That's showbiz. Yeah.
Unless you're writing and directing.
I could never.
Time for topic of the show. Tots. 2 weeks in a row, he's missed, you know?
I mean,
this kid, we just complimented being a good director. Never misses.
My pre-programmed Tots button is on the scene where I can bring Janet up, so I didn't have this one ready to go. And then the last time.
I've been saying Janet's holding us back.
Yeah, and the last time it was, I might have not have been in the room when topic of the show started.
I think that is what happened. The internet was crapping out.
Yeah.
Still, it's on your permanent record. Ladies and gentlemen, you already know The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered is real. You already know there's a new mode called No Return. Of course, the game comes out January 19th, 2024. In case you don't remember what No Return is, I'm going to read a couple paragraphs from PlayStation blog to walk you in because Blessing and I just came back from playing many hours of it today.
We did.
A 9 o'clock call time. That was early.
It was really early. It actually isn't that early.
For normal people, they're
9 o'clock is very regular, but I hadn't had coffee. Until I got there. Then I had the coffee.
And then I got
coffee
you.
Remember didn't
I got,
work.
I got you a little cupcake. Or no, a little muffin.
Yeah, a little muffin. It was a really good muffin.
The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered is designed to let you dig deeper into both its development and mechanics. Chief among these is a brand new mode called No Return, a roguelike survival mode designed to let players prove their mettle in randomized encounters and experience Last of Us Part 2's combat in a fresh experience. The mode includes a host of playable characters to choose from, some playable for the first time in The Last of Us franchise, who each come with their own traits to suit different playstyles. Players will chart their own course on each run, choosing between various stealth and combat encounters that will pit you against a range of enemies with unique twists that can add new, unexpected factors to any given encounter. Blessing.
Greg.
Like I said, we played from 9 o'clock to noon.
We did.
A lot of playing of this game.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Same.
Okay. I don't want to be crazy about it. You know what I mean? But it is that idea of like, you get on the sticks and it's like, oh, right. Last of Us Part 2 was an awesome game to play. I think so much of the story, I think so much of the characters and the drama. And getting back in here, I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. This is actually just fun to do. But then on top of that, you know, at one point when we finished, we unlocked a whole bunch of stuff and you just went, man, this game's got systems on systems on systems.
I go through my notes and one of my notes is just so many dang systems because there's so much going on in this mode. And to your point too, Last of Us is just fun to play. Like as I was playing this and as I was taking down notes on it, one of the first things that came to mind, I wrote down a series of hot takes. I got three hot takes in a row.
Lay them on me.
My first hot take is that Last of Us' gameplay removed from the story, removed from cinematics, removed from like, you know, all the flair and stuff that you attach to a Naughty Dog game. Last of Us' gameplay is better than most action games, in my opinion. Is a very fun game to play, especially when you get into like the stealth of it and how well it works. And then also like the feel of combat and how crunchy it is when you hit somebody with a melee weapon. And even the shooting, like I know shooting is probably the thing that people comment on the most when if you want to take down a Naughty Dog game, especially when you talk about like something like Uncharted or Last of Us 1. I think the shooting is good. Like I think the shooting is really fun and really engaging, and it adds to like this stressful, like grounded feeling of, oh man, like I got four bullets in the chamber and I gotta get a headshot. Boom, oh I missed. Boom, oh I missed. Ah, oh, damn, I gotta get this one. Like there is such a level of intensity and engagement that I have when I'm playing The Last of Us as a video, just as a combat system that works so well for me. My second hot take is that roguelikes go to genre. fantastic genre of video games. I love roguelike so much. Obviously, like, everybody loves Hades. Obviously, so many of us love Returnal. You know, so many of us love Rogue Legacy.
Hell yeah, we do.
When I think about my experiences with any of these games, if you can throw in Hitman Freelancer in the mix, you can throw in Dead Cells into the mix, there's such a satisfaction that I get as I, like, make my way through and I am progressing. And it is, the further you get, the more stakes there are, because if I lose here, I lose everything. And yeah. I built up a character that, you know, I care about, because these are all my preferred upgrades. Like, oh man, I built a beast out of this thing. I can't lose here. And then you get into a combat scenario where, you know, this strong ass, like, you know, build that you've created is put up against some bullshit and you die and you lose. And it's such a satisfying type of game for me. But then my third hot take being, and I say hot, they're just takes, but like my third one here is that, you know, I think this is gearing up to be one of my favorite roguelikes.
Wow. Yeah. That is big. That is
and
big.
I use the word favorite. I don't use the word best, just because, like, when I start to talk about best, you know, I think there's something special about Hades and its narrative and its characters and all that bringing
as
it together
as a package. Yeah.
Last of Us remastered No Return mode it's just the gameplay, right? Like, you're not getting any narrative elements, and I think, you know, that kind of holds back when I compare it to other roguelikes. But I say favorite because it is taking this combat system that I love, it is taking, like, you know, like, this gameplay system that we've played for years now, right? Going back to Last of Us 1 that came out in 2013. You know, it's taking stealth. It's taking stealth kills. It's taking the, you know, throwing bottles and bricks and all these things. And it's packaging it in a way that really understands what it wants to do in terms of being a roguelite. We talk about all the dang systems, and there's so much that you can unlock. There's so many different choices you can make as you're making your way through the maps. And I think the balance that they found with it is so fun and so satisfying.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I can see myself playing this quite a bit. And I think it'll be really hot and heavy in the beginning where I'm on it all the time. And then I think it'll eventually be that, you know, they have these daily runs that everyone is trying to do the same run, right? I think that'll be something I flirt with to see how bad I am compared to everybody else. But it is such a great reminder of the sandbox and the tools they give you to play with, and then the way they're iterating on it, which I think is important, right? So, you know, the blog post hinted at it. You've seen some gameplay on the screen right now if you're a visual watcher. But to really spell it out for you, right? When you start this up, you go on into No Return, you pick the character you want, each one having their own pros and cons. So in terms of, like, oh, well, Lev is very stealth-based, right? Mm-hmm. Ellie's balanced. You know, when you're playing as Abby, one of her innate traits is that if you melee kill somebody, you get a little bit of health back, right? Yeah. Everybody's got those kind of, like, little attributes on them, right? Pick them, pick the difficulty, and then you start in the hideout, right? This will be the hideout you return to after each one of the encounters. You have 5 encounters and then a boss fight, right? What happens is that you go over to a board that looks a little bit like the Mind Palace, right?
Yeah.
You have all the things stitched, and as you see right now, if you're watching, right, or whatever run you're on, you're going to start on one very specific map, and then it immediately branches. And then throughout, you'll have other ones that branch. And when they branch like this, you get to look at them and say, if you can pause, Barrett, all right, this right now, we're looking at the subway station. The encounter type is going to be hunted. This is one of the several modes in the game, right, where assault is you fighting a bunch of different waves of enemies. Hunted is you have to last this certain amount of time with infinite enemies coming at you. It tells you what the enemy faction is going to be. It talks about your score in multiplayer. It tells you what the reward would be between, you know, scrap for crafting, supplements, and then this is at the end here is a currency to buy things out of this locker. And then on top of that, there's mods on it, right? This one has vaulting boosts, movement speed, and photo mode filters, right, in terms of what's going through. You can look and then compare which one you want. Hunted, I enjoyed when I played it, but it was very much like I preferred the assault of when you do an assault run, it shows you what wave you're on. It shows you how many enemies are left on the map. So for me, wanting to play stealth and wanting to hide in the tall grass, wanting to hide behind cars and then really feel like I'm Batman or, you know, quietly taking people out, that fit me more than being hunted where everybody was out to get
me. Which is funny because when we talk about the different play styles that you can have playing Last of Us, right? Like for me, I did really like the hunted and it really came together, funny enough, in the mission so the gameplay you saw was my gameplay. I picked that thing that had like the photo mill filters or whatever. And that was a weird mod because like as soon as I started, it was like this oversaturated, like, oh damn, okay, I can't really see certain things certain ways. I was able to hold down at like the end of the subway tunnel and kind of create this path. So I was like, okay, cool. I know they're going to come down. The enemies are going to come down like one of three ways. And so I have my shotgun. I have my bow and arrow as Lev, and I'm lining them up. And I'm like, cool, I can hold this down for maybe 30 more seconds. And it did come down to like the last second of me being able to survive it. I like that. I also love that as you play, you unlock more, right?
Yeah.
And so like there is there's a holdout mode, and then there was a mode called capture. I don't know what capture was. It probably is.
I can tell you if
like.
You want.
Go for it.
So yeah, like we said, it was assault is clear each wave. Hunted is they're coming after you in this much time. Holdout is fortify your position, like you know, hold out with an ally against people like attacking the house. And then the capture is there is a safe that enemies are protecting. You have to get to it before time expires to get into the safe.
And yeah, like I think they do such a good job of adding in these variables. Like it starts off being fairly simple, and it was funny because I had like the multiple come to Jesus moments of, all right, is this it? Oh, okay, no, there's more here to unlock. Okay, cool. Okay, is this it? Like we were playing and we were asking questions to the developer, and we're like, hey, is it just like these six things and then it's done? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. And then like, well, but when you finish one, then you go like the next one is going to give you a different boss to do. And it's like,
six different bosses in the game. You're building to it. Once you beat all six of them, then it's randomly tossed in there what you're going to be getting.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing of like, okay, cool. We're playing. We did whatever the challenge was, because there's a bajillion challenges, right, that unlock, you know, different outfits for whoever you're playing as. Once you play enough as one of those characters, you unlock a new character to go play as, right? But then also, like, when we're playing, all of a sudden, it unlocks dead drops. And it's like, oh, what's dead drops? Oh, well, when you're playing a map, there'll be a mailbox that you can run up to, and it'll say, like, it wants a health pack. So if you put a health pack in there, then you get a reward for
that. Did you ever do
that,
one of those?
No, because I was playing as Lev, who didn't have any health packs and couldn't craft, or I didn't have the materials to craft.
I did. I skipped it at first because I was in the same scenario, but then I finally put one in. And then the next, once I got back to the, like, home base, I had, like, a big hunter rifle waiting for me, and I was like, oh, snap. Okay, I really got to do these.
And that's the thing, too. Like, on top of that, they have gambits throughout, which are basically in-level challenges. Again, they start more simply, but in right here we're looking at the encounter rewards. Every time you come back from a successful encounter, you can go here, you get this, and then on top of that, then there's new branches for you, supplements on and stuff like that. But yeah, I lost what I was talking about because I was jumping to something else.
You're talking about gambits.
Gambits are there, which are the specific challenges that they'll give you of like kill somebody with a Molotov, you know, shoot somebody while you're taking somebody hostage. They start simple, then they get more complicated. I think it's the same thing with the rewards right there. If you look right now, this reward is health plus 3 currency, right? Currency goes back to, you saw unpacking from the crate and home base. When you get back to home base, not only is there the map for you to pick where you want to go with the missions, not only is there the locker you unlock to get the stuff out from your last thing, there's an upgrade bench to upgrade your weapons, just like there would be in the game, and then there's a locker that's like a store. You go there, and you can spend the currency on guns, new guns, refilling your ammo, learning how to craft traps, so the next time in your next map, you could craft traps and go out and do that way.
Yeah. Yeah, like I love how so many of these systems are brought together, and like it never felt overwhelming, you know.
Sure.
Like I think for me, if I had one critique for it slash like a desire, I wish that the overall thing was longer, because you know, you start to upgrade your character, and I finally got to the final boss, right, which is like the sixth map you do, and I was like, all right, oh, I guess this is the penultimate thing. Like I gotta spend all my things here, and like I felt powerful, but I felt like I should have felt more powerful by the time I'm getting to the end of a run. But even with that, right, like as I look through the systems, right, you talk about the character unlocks where you can get all these different characters that have these different traits. On top of that, you have costume unlocks, so you can like dress your character in different ways. Training manuals, so like you have the upgrade trees, and they're different per character, and like usually they'll have to do like what the character's build is. And so for Abby, I think Abby had like a close combat tree. I think Ellie, or no, I know Lev had like a like bow and arrow
tree.
Yeah, and so there's stuff like that. And yeah, like you mentioned, all the different currencies to buy the different things. There's crafting, as you'd expect, right? And like
same Last of Us stuff applies. As you're playing, you're collecting broken scissors and tapes. That way you can stop there and you can make a health pack. You can make a Molotov.
And then like there are encounter modifiers, right? So like, you know, I mentioned the whole photo mode filter thing. There was another one I got that was thick fog.
Thick fog.
And so as soon as I like, you know, boot up the map, it is, okay, now it's kind of hard to see where enemies are coming from. So I had to be a bit more alert with that.
I had enemies took more damage.
I had enemies drop bombs on death.
Yeah.
I had that combined with melee attacks causes enemies to catch on fire. And that was a really funny round. And I think that gameplay might be in the speedroll, where like I'm running around and like I hit somebody, they catch on fire, go crazy, and I'm like, hell yeah. But then they drop dead and drop a bomb immediately. So I'm like, oh, fuck, so I got to get out. And so it's like, the benefit, yeah, here we go. So like, I think this guy catches on fire. And then like, he just fucking goes crazy. And I kill him. And then immediately, like, I think there's probably a bomb. Yeah, like, you see the icons being hidden by our thing. But yeah, you see it there.
This guy's just sitting in there waiting for you.
And I'm like, oh, fuck. And so, yeah, I'm like, okay, well, I want to melee them so they can catch on fire and die. But if I melee them, I'm going to be right on top of them before the bomb drops.
Right.
And so that was a really fun round.
And that's why I don't mind it being short. Like, I like that it's obtainable. It's going to be difficult depending on your run, and especially if you want to start. Once you even get it down, like, obviously all the difficulties are there. We were playing on moderate. There's all the way up to grounded. There's light or whatever, very light, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But I like the idea of, okay, well, now I'm doing this and I'm using a character I don't normally use because I'm trying to do this very specific challenge. I'm trying to go through and get this part of it. Like, it reminds me a lot of what I think it was to grow up with games in the past, and probably still to this day, but at least for me in the past, of like, cool, I've beaten this game 30 times. So today I'm just going to try to do it no kill. I'm going to try to do it only with ninja stars. I'm going to go through and like not use health or whatever. Like, they're putting those into these rounds, into these different things. So I feel like that'll be the challenge of like, okay, cool, I'm doing something that is different.
Yeah.
It can't just be that I'm going to be Ellie every time.
Yeah. And the game is built for running it plenty of times, right? Mm-hmm. Like we mentioned, it is, well, you have like five bosses that you can take out. So that's like six bosses that you can take out. So that's six runs that you complete. And then, yeah, they start to randomize. And so there's that. And then there's a lot of long-term progression stuff in terms of unlockables and different, like on top of the characters, right? There's modes, mods, like a bunch of different things that over time you're going to collect.
New game bits,
yeah. And so they build in a lot of things there so that you feel like you're getting a long-term hit of, oh, I can keep coming back to this and keep unlocking and having fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I think that's the one thing where I'm like, I wish if in a single run, if it was maybe like four more maps long, or maybe if there was like a mid boss and then an end boss to kind of keep me engaged for longer. Cause I, my favorite feeling in a roguelike is feeling all powerful by the time I get to the end. And like,
that's not Last of Us though, right?
You know, it isn't Last of Us. So I think
like, I feel like I cheated the system when I came back on one of my playthroughs to the locker and I didn't like any of the weapons they had. So I just bought all the resources I could, because I could get them for like 2 coins or whatever. And then I went and like upgraded all my one gun to max gun. I was like, all right, now I'm feeling great.
But yeah, like, I mean, I came out of this absolutely loving it. I like the maps too. Like, I think the maps are, they're small. Well, some of them are like more condensed than others, but they're a good size for what they're going for, right? Like, it is, you're what, three waves of a horde if you're doing the assault mode.
Yeah.
You know, like nice close quarters if you're doing like a hunted mode. Like, I think they know how to formulate.
Were they modified original maps, or right? Because they were, because there was definitely parts where I was like, I remember this house.
Definitely one map that where I was like, oh, I know exactly
when
where
we
this
were
is.
At the like the Seraph's like hunting lodge.
Santa Barbara?
No. For Lev's people.
Yeah.
When we went back to the, like, log cabins and stuff, I was like, this seems really familiar. But it might be, it's probably assets they're reusing and repurposing and moving.
Because I had a map that was Santa Barbara, and I was like, oh, I know exactly where this is. But also, yeah, I don't know if the layout's the same. It's been like 3 years since I played the last
of course,
I can't even tell you. But they're all locations that we had in the base game.
100%.
Because I remember like there being a subway. I remember there being like, I can't even tell you the other parts, but like all of them, nothing struck me as like, oh, I've not seen this before in the last.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, this area is definitely at least inspired by like where Abby and Lev kind of first team up together, and she leaves Lev in like a trailer.
Sure. Yeah.
See, this area, I know it's not this, but it reminded me of Last of Us 1, like early on where.
Yep. 100%. When you get to the docks or whatever, and you're chasing that guy.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. Really fun time.
We have to take our word for it, ladies and gentlemen. The one, the only, the game director of Last of Us Part 2 Remastered, Matthew Gallant, is here, or was here. That's how we did this thing. But before we get to Matthew's interview, let me tell you, of course, you need to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get each and every episode of PS I Love You XOXO ad-free. Normally, you can be in the chat live as we record it. And, of course, you get all the other podcasts ad-free. Watch them live as we record them. Get 400 bonus episodes of content and get cool merch only on patreon.com/kindoffunny. But since you're not on patreon.com/kindoffunny, here's a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Shady Rays. 'Tis the season of giving. Get the perfect gift for a special someone, yourself, or both. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered with premium polarized shades and quick swap snow goggles that won't break the bank. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers an unrivaled product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. Y'all know I've been outside in the sun a lot playing Pokemon Go, and it's such a great experience wearing Shady Rays when I'm out and about looking dope. And that's not all. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost or broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out a very merry deal for the season. You can go to shadyrays.com, use code KINDAFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people by going to shadyrays.com, using code KINDAFUNNY, and you'll get 50% off 2 or more pairs of polarized sunglasses.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
As I live and breathe, Matthew Gallant. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us on the show today.
Oh, so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
I need to know immediately, just how much do you hate Neil Druckmann? All right, just get it out. He'll never see this. He's big time Hollywood now, and he'll never know.
Neil is a lovely guy.
Ah, he got to you too. Matthew, of course, we've just previewed, but more importantly, we've just played The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered, No Return. You are game director, so you came up with this idea all by yourself and willed it into existence, yes?
That's more or less it, yeah.
Okay, great. Start with, how did you guys decide that this was what you wanted to march forward to? Because as soon as we started up, it's Last of Us, but then also the scavenging and the going back to the home base, I was like, man, it feels a little bit like Factions 2. Like, how did this become the mode?
So, you know, we knew from the beginning we were making The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered, where, like, table stakes here is it's going to be PS5 upgrade, it's going to have haptics, it's going to be pushing out all the art settings, performance mode, fidelity. Like, that was just known. And then we were looking across the game and thinking about, like, well, what else could we do here that would be cool? What are some other fun ways that we could take what's great about The Last of Us Part 2 and just expand it in other fun ways that would resonate with players and reach different audiences of who would be interested in this game? And I know, like, I was the lead systems designer in the original game. I know the combat really well. I know the systems. I knew there was a lot that we could do there to take that and expand it. Because if you like the combat in The Last of Us Part 2, like, what can you really do? You can go back and play the encounter select a whole bunch. You can play these fights over and over. But at a certain point, you're just going to, like, memorize them or optimize them, or you'll have played them every way that they can be played, and that's about it. But we've made these really robust, you know, AI systems, NPCs, you know, upgrade systems. And it was like, if we can take this stuff and remix it and give the player different choices, we can really take the breadth of Last of Us combat, which, you know, melee, stealth, gunplay, crafting, all these elements, and push the player to just try every part of it. Like, to get, if you're really comfortable with one play style, maybe we can push you onto another one, or we can kind of throw you into a situation where you have to think on your feet, because you're like, oh, I've never encountered this particular combination of things before. I'm gonna try, you know, just gonna go for it. This gunplay style that I'm not used to playing. I'm much more of a stealth player, but no, I've got the shotgun. Let's roll.
I didn't appreciate that about the demo, because what happened is I saw Bless play as Ellie, and I'm used to Ellie. I'm usually stealth, but then I saw Abby. I'm like, oh, I'll jump into Abby. Oh, you know, every time I get a melee kill, I get health back, and I died in the first room. And I was like, all right, Bless, like, don't count this against me. And I went to Ellie, and I did very good.
You did
once
very
I got
good,
back. Yeah. Once I got in my wheelhouse, mm-hmm. But again, it's that interesting thing that
with each one of these characters that are playable this time around, them having their own pros, their own cons, right, really does open my eyes that not everybody played it the way I did, which was lay in the grass, wait, yep. Then strike.
Yeah. Well, it kind of brings me back to when Last of Us Part 2 first came out, and I remember us talking about how it's funny how Hotline Miami is an Easter egg in the game, because it feels like the combat system feels like Hotline Miami, where it is you're freestyling, you're doing improv, and you bust in a door, and it's, all right, I got a melee weapon, pick it up, hit a guy over the head, mm-hmm. see a person across the room, shoot them with a pistol, change to the shotgun. Like, it feels like it's so dynamic, and there are so many different options for how you can approach things. And I think for me, the thing that I'm excited about upon first picking up No Return is the fact that, like, there are so many different variables that you guys considered and how to, like, make different characters play differently, right? Like the Ellie versus Abby thing, right? Or even like me playing as Lev and Lev having more bow and arrow focused gameplay and being able to kind of be more of a silent assassin. For you guys, when you guys first concepted this idea, was it meant to be something that had this amount of breadth to it? You know, like neither me or Greg got to the end of it. But just from, like, you know, playing a little bit, it seems like there's a lot there in this mode.
Yeah. I think it's a mode that has a lot to offer. And thankfully, we were able to do that because there was just so much to draw from. There was all these amazing enemy types and crafting items and guns and characters. This was all just like stuff we got to play with and go, like, how can we put this together? How can we, you know, build our Lego kit a different way and and make it something different? And for the playable characters, I think that was something where we really wanted to go, how can we make a bunch of characters that, when you select them, it's really going to change your game plan going in. You're going to go in, you know, and think about, oh, this is going to be my stealth character. We have another character, you probably didn't get to him, but Manny, he starts a run. He's got the hunting rifle and the hunting pistol and the semi-auto rifle, but he doesn't have the health kit recipe.
Wow.
So when you're playing as him, you're really like, okay, I'm pretty stacked in terms of guns, but I'm not going to be able to heal myself. So I really got to treat my health as like this precious resource, and I got to really think about that. You know, I think this is what's really cool about the mode, is that we have all these tools to play with and we can throw different combinations of them. And some of these combinations are like really surprising. Like even me, you know, I know all the mechanics in the game, but, I will run into some combination of like an enemy type and a mod and a map. And I'm like, oh wow, this is actually really intense. And I'm having to think about the strategy while I'm playing it. And I think that was really what we wanted to get at with this mode was that when you're playing the main story, you kind of can end up just cruising mm-hmm. on like your favorite guns, your favorite yep. items. You can get into like a set of items that feels very comfortable for you, and you can carry a lot of that through the end of the game. And especially like as you're getting into the latter half of either character's story, it's like you got so many options to grow. You got a whole roster of guns, a whole roster of crafting items. Going back to a situation where it's like, if I don't like this rifle, well, this is the rifle I have. I better figure out how to use it. I better play around it, you know, set myself up for this longer range gameplay, even if that's not something that I'm comfortable with or that's how I like to play the game. But let's try it. Let's try playing this, you know, doing this different combat fantasy and seeing how that feels on. And sometimes it, you know, it feels awesome to be expanding yourself into these different play styles. And sometimes you're like, well, that was uncomfortable, but it was a stretch, or I had a interesting time because it was unexpected and mm-hmm. I was having to push myself on out of my comfort zone.
And I think that's what's so cool about it. Again, you know, we didn't reach, like we've talked about before, I assume, even though we're filming out of order, you know, you get the five different maps, right? And then a boss, right? So five mm-hmm. encounters, then your boss, right? For a run. Even beyond that, it's the fact of you're unlocking the other characters by playing a certain number of times with those characters, right? And like you can see, I love that you guys didn't like hide anything. It is very much like, oh, you want to, once you've unlocked the character, you can see, you know, all the challenges for them to then get the cool outfits or whatever, right? The Savage Starlight thing, so good on Ellie, looks so good.
Awesome.
But then like the idea that, okay, cool, so you know, you play Lev, that unlocks Yara, right? And then you play Yara, and that unlocks et cetera, and yep. It dominoes out through the whole cast. I like that because, of course, you're forcing me, isn't the right word, but encouraging me heavily to try these characters. And even if I'm like, I'm gonna go back to Lev, that'll be my daily challenge one, unless I'm sure daily challenges will, I assume, make me use a character at some point in time. I like the idea of getting in there, mixing it up, and trying things, like you're saying, right? Vary your play style. Obviously, as you continue to go through these different things and you get the random drops, how are you going to play that way? I really loved the gambits, right? These gambits popping up that are one time on the map you're in. Hey, here's a mission. Kill a guy with a Molotov. Do this thing. Obviously, they start getting a little bit more complicated, I noticed, as we continue to unlock more. But it is this idea, really, that is cool. Even if you've played this game 10 times, it should be different that 11th time.
And those gambits, we thought about a lot in that mechanic of like risk and reward. It's like, here's this little challenge. It might seem kind of easy. It's got this little extra reward, but I can't tell you how many times like me just stretching myself and going for the gambit is what gets me killed.
Yeah.
That's what like pushes me to do the risky move and to expose myself and like, oh no, that was a bad idea. Right, I thought I was comfortable.
Right here. Not if an enemy while holding another is, or killing an enemy while holding another as a hostage, like, that's a bit more complicated. That's the thing, you guys. It's baby steps into bigger ones. And I think, again, that's the challenge of coming back to this time and time again. Of obviously, if you're going to be that invested in this mode, you want more things to do. You want crazier things to go off.
Yeah, this is a mode that I'm very excited about. Like, when the trailer first dropped, I couldn't believe it. Just for the idea of, I'm somebody who really likes roguelites, right? Like, especially when we're talking about a Returnal or a Hades, right? Or like the list goes on. And something over the years that I've been very happy with is that we've been getting more AAA roguelites in the way that we got Returnal a couple years ago. And even at the top of this year, we got Hitman Freelancer mode, which is basically another mode in the Hitman game, right? That is more roguelite, centered. That is like, hey, you have a run and like, don't die or else you're going to lose all your progress. And there are all these dynamic systems that are changing the way that you want to play. Very excited for the idea of that being in The Last of Us. And as I've been playing through it, I have been like, okay, cool. This is exactly what I want. Like, this is giving me what I feel like Last of Us does great in terms of combat, in terms of stealth, in terms of all that. But yeah, like formatted in a way that, you know, is giving me the maximum of that. Let's focus in on the gameplay. Let's like give me an experience that's going to be brutal, but also because of that, it's going to be fun trying to figure out how to get around all this stuff. For you guys, when you're figuring this stuff out, like, did you have influences or inspirations, right? Did you look at a Returnal or did you look at a Hades and go, oh man, we have so much fun doing this that we should bring this to The Last of Us?
I would say that we drew very broadly from roguelikes, because like you, I love roguelikes, and I've been so amazed in, like, I don't know, the past 3-5 years, there's just been this amazing explosion of creativity around all these different roguelike games. They're all taking different approaches, different ideas, like playing with the format a lot, but we were looking at that across the board and just going like, this is such a cool design space. What would it look like for our version of this? What would a Last of Us roguelike look like? And there were two like high-level themes that I think were really important for us. The first one was the permadeath aspect, because, if you're in cover, you're low health, someone's got a bead on you, that feels very differently, like, in your heart, in your gut, when you've got, like, a minute since your last checkpoint and it's no big deal, versus, like, oh, I'm on map 4. Mm-hmm. If I die here, like, this whole run is shot. Yeah, and, like, that gets your heart pounding, that gets your palms sweaty, just knowing that there's stakes involved during these runs. And then the other element that we just really loved was that randomization part of roguelikes, where it's like, okay, even if I die or even if I succeed, they're going to keep throwing me these new challenges at me, remixing things, putting things together in different ways. I'm going to have to start from zero again and make all these new choices again and plan and like try to learn from what I did well last time. So we thought like those two high level themes plus The Last of Us's combat and systems, it just seemed like a really natural fit.
Yeah, I felt the intensity when I was doing my first Hunted. You know, you have these different modes, right? So there's a halt, assault, which is clear all the waves. There's Hunted, where it's just, you're going to get enemy after enemy after enemy, you have to survive this long. There's hold out, right, which is like barricade up the place, keep them out that way. And then capture, which is you getting to the safe, getting the stuff before time runs out. Hunted was like, I kept picking assault on purpose. I was like, I don't want to deal with this. And then I got forced into one because, of course, once you pick your path, you're on a path at these different junctions. And getting in there and having it be like, everything's great. And then that final 20 seconds when I did finally get caught and they saw me and it was just guns and Molotovs and I was like, God, I finished that, and that was a poof. Okay, that felt good.
I love how you can strategize around, like, I just got to make it 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Like,
if
I can just hold up in this.
But like, even then, right, like, I thought what was so brilliant is that, of course, your ammo and health kits that you have, right, that carries over to your next map. So there was the times where I was, like, one guy left, he's coming straight at me, I don't want to waste the bullets.
Yeah.
So I'll lay here and let him go the other way, and I'll throw the brick and then run over it. Because even then, you know, like, it starts the countdown to send you back to the hideout. I start running around trying to find the brick. You know what I mean? Like, I want everything. I want to come into the next one as strong as possible.
One thing that I found really cool, right, is the fact that you can play all these different characters. Like, we talk about how you can play as just not just Ellie and Abby, right, but you can play as Yara, you can play as Lev, you can play as these other characters.
10 characters, right?
Yep.
Ellie, Dina, Jesse, Tommy, Joel, Abby, Lev, Yara, Mel, Manny.
Got it.
Question, this is something I noticed, but I wasn't sure about. Did you have to go back and get those performers to, like, record lines for it? Like, did you have to get them to, like, do, like, the shouts and grunts and all that?
We used all material that was recorded for the original game.
Gotcha. So you just had it all on deck, and like, that's very convenient.
Might have to slightly modulate that. There might be a little bit of extra pickup we did, but almost none.
My other question on top of that was, did you guys ever consider, like, a narrative element to this? You know, I think it's fun thinking about Naughty Dog and who you guys are as a company, because Naughty Dog, known for the stories, right? Known for the narratives and stuff. This being an extra mode, it is like if you did a roguelite, like, it would have to be supernatural, right? And, like, as I started to think about it, I started to think about, like, Ghost of Tsushima Legends and how they were like, all right, if we're going to do this, then we're going to make it a whole weird thing where it is somebody telling the story of the legends of the Ghost of Tsushima and, like, make it the supernatural thing. And when you guys were figuring out this mode, was there ever a conversation of, what if we added a story or something?
So we knew kind of right off the bat that we wanted this to be, like, not canon, because we wanted to get away from strict groundedness. That's such a pillar of the game design in the main story, and we knew if we could be flexible with that, there was just so much gameplay we can open up. So we do pretty wild things in No Return, where, like, we have a mod that does invisible enemies, we have a mod that makes, like, pustules rain from the sky.
Where whenever I melee somebody, they catch on fire.
Yeah, exactly. So we knew if we could, like, be flexible with groundedness and be flexible with canon, like, this is non-canon mode, that would unlock that. And that kind of put us in a place where we didn't want to attach a story to this. It made more sense to think about it as, like, this is gameplay first. This is what can we do when we're not having this really, not constraint, but, like, it's so important to us in the main story that, like, when we're making combat, that combat is then resonating with the themes of the story. So, like, we're thinking so hard about, like, how do we connect what you're doing, you know, in the gameplay and the combat on the stick to then that moment a minute later where, like, we want you to feel like Ellie. We want you to feel like the character. Like, whatever emotions they're feeling, you're feeling them too. And we knew we couldn't do, like, that level of connection. Or just it made more sense to not try and aim for that, to aim for something different here. This is not a mode where we're saying, here's gameplay, here's narrative, here's how they weave together really seamlessly. It's like, no, this is gameplay's time to shine, this is combat's time to shine, and we can do whatever we want within that system to make really cool and interesting combat encounters.
Awesome.
It's about time. I think that's, you know, we talked about it, yeah, you know, at review, obviously, how good Last of Us Part 2's gameplay is, and then when Last of Us Part 1 came around, and it was, oh, I can't go pro. Oh, I can't, you know what I mean? The little things of, like, a game that was older that came before, right? And then to have this, like, to sit down, it was that, oh, I forgot how good this was, right? The further you get away from Last of Us Part II, what we talk about is obviously graphics and stuff, but it is the narrative and the performance and the arguing about the themes and why characters did what they did or whatever, right? So it's, like, great to get in here and have another reason to jump in and just have that gameplay here.
Yeah, it brings back to we had an episode that was Last of Us Part 1 versus Last of Us Part 2, and we went category by category trying to compare the two and, you know, talk about which one we think is better. And one of the points that I try to make in favor of Last of Us Part 1 is the multiplayer. Like, having the factions mode back in the day was such a pillar for me, because I really enjoyed that factions mode, and it was the thing that allowed me to, you know, from a gameplay perspective, just have the gameplay and, like, have fun with that. And I kind of missed the idea of you know, Last of Us Part 2 not having a factions, not having, like, a extra thing to do that just got you into the gameplay. So now that we have this, and now that I've gotten a taste of it, I'm like, oh man, this might actually bring Last of Us Part 2 up in that conversation for me, because I know I'm probably gonna spend a lot of time in this mode.
Yeah, me too. I think that's the takeaway I have for it. Obviously, I couldn't look at trophy list. We got a new trophy list for this one?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, good.
I wasn't aware that that was a restriction. There's the trophy list. Basically, how it works is we have the main game has the same set of trophies
sure.
that you can import your save and do that really seamlessly. There's that section that we had for extra trophies for the grounded patch on the original game. So there's three in there, I believe. And then we have a full DLC size section of trophies for No Return. And we tried to make it a broad set of really interesting challenges,
for sure.
Stuff that connects to the mode, stuff that like the challenges themselves will get players to fully explore all the systems and try lots of different things. So, yep, it's got its own trophy section for that.
My next question is, how crazy do you expect to get with these daily challenges? Like, is it gonna be pretty, it's just mundane, or is it going to be do this whole thing and don't shoot anybody and just... You know?
So the daily run is... the way it works is that when we're generating a run, there's a random seed at the heart of it. So if you get the same random seed, you're always going to get the same set of like map choices, gambit choices, trading post choices, etc. What daily run is everyone on that day playing the same random seed.
Gotcha.
So getting offered the same map choices, the same gambits, like all across the board, you're going to get the same choice. And then there's the leaderboard where when you're doing a run, you get a score for certain things like speed, efficiency of resources, stuns, like different things will get you points. And so then when you're finished your daily run, that post is going to go on a global leaderboard. So you'll be able to see how you did versus all the other players, like who got the best score for that day. And I'm going to be really interested to see how players, you know, maximize that.
I was going to say, they break this and do it in a way you never thought, right? To put up these times.
But I find daily run really fun, you know, not only in No Return, but just like other roguelikes I've played.
For
it's just like, it's a really good excuse to just drop in, take your shot. You know, sometimes it goes hilariously wrong and you die in the first map or whatever. And sometimes you're getting in there and you're getting sweaty and it goes really well. And then being able to get a sense of like, oh, how good actually was I at this? And what can I do to play to like really max out that score? I think it's going to be really fun.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't expect to be good on the daily runs, but I expect to try for a while.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I'm going to chip away at this one for a while.
Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to this. Like, and again, me talking about how much I've been enjoying roguelikes in the last few years. Like, I talk a lot about Hitman Freelancer and how, like, you know, that came out of nowhere. Like, they just dropped it and I started playing. I'm like, man, this is very addicting. And made me appreciate Hitman even more just in the what, like out couple hours we did of playing this mode at the preview. Like, I'm already like, man, this is making me relive all the fun that I had with The Last of Us Part II combat back in the day. And so, yeah, very excited.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you very much. I'm so excited to hear.
Of course, coming up January 19th, not too far.
Not long at all.
You should give us code soon, huh? What that? Yes, you got it? Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of PS I Love You XOXO. Remember, we're your PlayStation podcast that you can usually get every Friday morning. Of course, you could usually watch us record it live, patreon.com/kindoffunny on Thursday. You could get ad-free there. You could get more than 400 bonus episodes of content. You, of course, could get exclusive merch only on patreon.com/kindoffunny. No bucks tossed our way, no big deal. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe each and every Friday for a brand spanking new episode. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.